Jaspreet Boparai and Don Nicholson with Greenwashed on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
You're with Greenwashed. I'm Jaspreet here with Don Nicholson. And today, to speak about what has become somehow Don and my favorite hobby horse, the methane issue, which is vexing this country, we have, from the Methane Science Accord, South Waikato sheep, beef and dairy grazing farmer Helen Mandino to speak more about this. Now, listeners might remember we've been talking about this. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to forget we've had Hamish Bielski on recently, Owen Jennings, to talk about the same issue. But today, what I specifically want to talk about is this post that is up on the Methane Science Accord's Facebook page, which is an open letter to the CEO of AgriZero, Wayne McNee, written by Helen. And Helen, to fill in the blanks, add, the stage is all yours. Please let us know what got you into writing this, and let's go through some of the responses you've received in response to this open letter. Welcome.
Thanks, Dawn and Jaspreet, and thanks again for the great work that you're doing. Well, yeah, my blood was boiling when I read about AgriZero granting Ruminant Biotech an additional $4 million for the further development of the ruminant methane inhibiting bolus. It was quite interesting. I mentioned it to my father-in-law, just watching how high his blood pressure shot up. He's been farming for 55 years, and he said, like hell are we going to be bolusing our cattle? So I guess that's really what drove me to write the open letter. It's been extremely well received from farmers and non-farmers all around the country, and shared. And obviously I've put in there some very, very practical questions that we genuinely deserve the answers for. And I'm not sure how it even the bolus got to this stage without those practical implications being thought about.
Well, you know, 4 millionth of a degree of warming caused by a cattle, we have to get after that, regardless of whether we have a thermometer that can measure with any degree of accuracy what we are trying, what problem are we trying to solve here. But you have written there, and I'll read it out, I'll quote it. Due to extremely tight on-farm inflationary costs and low returns in farming at present, good business practice for us is to do a cost-benefit analysis of every cost on the farm. And I would like to know how we measure the success of this input, which could be a methane bolus, versus its cost. You go on to say, we can measure the success of a fertilizer and rent product, so it's only fair we can measure the success of this methane nirvana that's going to be offered to farmers. And as from all the noises that I'm hearing around me, mighty soon this way, it might just come as early as 2025 at some stage. So you have asked there that, first of all, question number one, Wayne, as a farmer, can you please tell me what global temperature decrease can we expect to see as a result of using this bolus? And I would expect you would have got an answer by now, since everyone seems to be jumping on this bandwagon.
That's right. Each time we bring up this question, we get silence. I'd like to highlight some replies we get from Wayne McNee regarding this very subject, because each time we remind him that the science does not justify any action, this is the standard reply we get. We get from Wayne, when I was asked why farmers need to reduce emissions, I stand by what I said. Because it's a requirement from our premium international customers and trade partners. He also goes on to say, protecting the future of the agricultural sector is our key driver, and our ambition is aligned to the requirements of the global market. As such, we remain confident that our focus to deliver a range of emission reduction tools for farmers is critically important. He also goes on to say, One of the ways we're going to help ensure the tools we're developing are fit for purpose is through feedback from our farmer focus group, which we're currently seeking applications for now. Well, I'd like to highlight two things. Tallies and AFCO have told us that the market will only want it if you give it to them for free. But why would you jump through extra hoops for nothing? So we'd like to put that back to Wayne McNee. And I've also downloaded the terms of reference for the farmer focus group for AgriZero that he refers to. Now, the objective of the group is to provide AgriZero with a farmer voice to help ensure emissions mitigation tools are fit for purpose to support on-farm adoption. It says AgriZero will select the members from nominations received during the initial sign-up period and will include members from our Māori agribusiness. Now, it also goes on to say AgriZero may terminate a member's appointment at any time by notice in writing. So isn't that nice? They're going to cherry pick who they want, and if you're not towing the line, you'll be gone by lunchtime.
I think your name would be right up the top of the list. You'll be first in there, Helen. You'll be the number one participant in that focus group.
Guarantee I won't be on the list.
It is interesting, Jaspreet, that we see so much of this happening in our society today. It doesn't matter where you look, regional councils, district councils, you have drop-in sessions. They like to get you around the table, and then they find the accepting voice rather than the dissenting voices. They just schmooze them until they're all in one happy little family. And that's exactly what that's about, Helen. Your radar is up quite high for a very good reason.
That's right. And they pretend it's a democratic process.
Yeah. And at this point, I might just add for some of our listeners for whom this name might just be new. So AgriZero is what is said to be a world-first public-private partnership. It is a fund that began with, I believe, an initial injection of $165 million. And it is half owned by the government and 50% by major New Zealand agribusiness names, such as your different banks and then Ravensdown, Silver Ferns, Synlait, Fonterra, all of these. And this money has been increasing. That $165 million with which it began last year, Helen, I believe would be inching closer to more than a quarter of a billion right now. In this time, they have also invested, they have invested in a company that is owned by a Bill Gates venture and in California to find a vaccine there. They are now investing further. And they are also seeing funding by some big names internationally, including the Jeff Bezos Fund, which is also, so this fund that wants to help fight methane is also the fund that is investing in alternative sustainable proteins. So I don't know what others think, but for me, there's some very, very major conflicts of interest here that should have been addressed first. But I don't know what's wrong with the bureaucrats, our governments, our industry co-ops, Helen. No one seems to bat an eyelid doing all of this.
It's a giant industrial climate complex, isn't it? It's fine if you're on the money train with them, and they seem to lack the spine to stand up to it.
I'll go to the next question that you've asked. The first one was, of course, what degree is of the temperature are we going to be able to reduce? The second one you asked, Helen, in your open letter, it says, can you personally come and demonstrate the application of the bolus into our Angus cows? Can you bring a prepared health and safety protocol and an updated life insurance plan? Why would that be, Helen? Elaborate, please.
Oh, and I've also I've dropped this open letter to a couple of the banks who are partners of AgriZero as well, and I have invited them to come and administer the bolus into our cattle because I'd really like to see how they get on. I mean, really, you know, the practicalities of trying to bolus, you know, 600 or 700 kilo animals, just what an absurd and insulting joke this is. You know, with regards to the boluses, we zinc bolus our young dairy heifers once in summer, and we give a copper bolus to our, you know, to our yearlings, but they're only like 180 kilos, and we certainly wouldn't want to do it any more than once a year. There's no way that we would think about bolusing our, you know, large Angus or R2 dairy heifers. So it just shows that the absurdity. And I want real answers. You know, how did it get to this stage, and why weren't these things thought about beforehand?
Yeah, and just for our listeners, what do you think these boluses will look like? I mean, I've put boluses in sheep years ago, drench boluses, and I wasn't a big fan of them, to be honest. I only did them for a few sheep and thought, no, to hell with this, and I went back to just standard drenching. What do you think these boluses that they're looking to bring in the next few years, will they be encased in plastic, or will they just be something that is like a copper bullet?
Yeah, I'd like to know that too. We have no idea on size, on shape. What is it going to do to the rumen? What's the growth rates? How's it going to affect the growth rates? I mean, obviously you are affecting and trying to minimize the very bacteria that are responsible for digesting their grass. So, you know, there's just so many questions.
And you have, as a farm animal or any animal owner, you have a duty of care to look out for the well-being of the animal. And clearly, you know, this could easily be an awkward procedure that won't always go right.
Absolutely. Like, without a shadow of a doubt, you know, farmers know that you've got to minimize boluses. Anything can happen. You can scratch the throat as they're being applied. Not only is it unsafe to the animal, it's also really unsafe to the handler as well.
So why is it that New Zealand, I mean, there's other countries in the world putting feed additives out, the NOP3, which is, I think it's under the Bovier regime, is a feed additive, and that's mainly in feedlot situations, I'd imagine. The reason boluses are being talked about in New Zealand is because, what, we're an open pasture grazing system generally, and it means, because you can't add it to feed every day if you've got open feeding going on pasture. So is this the way to get us roped into the same machinery that perhaps other countries are doing for their housed animals and feedlot animals?
I guess that would be one of their justifications, definitely. But again, they just haven't thought this through. You know, we bring our beef cattle, especially, into the yards on a minimal as needs basis. You know, they're far different from the dairy cattle that are, you know, used to being brought in quite regularly. You know, these are big animals. And what about on the high country stations where they're just turned out onto the, you know, rough tussocky hills for just months on end?
Yeah. No, it's not going to be good. It'd be interesting if the people in suits doing the investing would come out and do the work for you, Helen.
I'd love to invite them.
Because some of those ruminant biotech directors have pretty much spent their life in suits.
Yes.
But they're telling you how to operate anyway.
Very much.
You're putting them on notice. It's fantastic. I love your spirit. So carrying on, you've sort of talked about how many times a year you're going to have to do this, potentially 3 to 4 times a year. Mm-hmm. It's fun times. Every 3 months, you'll be looking forward to getting the herd in and working them over.
It's just nonsense, isn't it? And that's why I said, who's going to be administering these boluses? Is it going to be vets? Is it going to be vet technicians? Is it going to be farmers? And I even went as far to say, who's calculated the net emissions budget? You know, what about the emissions spent by the vets driving out to our farm? For goodness sakes, this is not about reducing emissions or climate change, isn't it? This is just virtue signaling nonsense.
It is not. An Agri Zero's page, you know, the line at the bottom makes it very clear. They say, together with our ambition and advocacy for groundbreaking agritech, we will meet global customer demands, maintain market access, and support New Zealand's climate goals. none of this is about us or our health or the well-being of people, planet, or anything. It is
exactly
one agenda set for the world, and we are all going it. Of course, the excuses are different. I see, you know, we've got pine trees decimating the place. We've seen mass immigration lead to pressure for housing, lead to pressure for converting rural lands. I've in recent times noticed that in the UK, there's councils that are selling permits to farmers. And this is, in this case, was a swine farmer who cannot now farm pigs again. And in return, I think he's been paid, it's in millions. I don't quote me on how many million pounds. But then that, because he's no longer, I guess, polluting, so they can now afford to build 11,000 odd houses. Don, is that about right?
Yeah, nearby. That's true.
Nearby.
Because there's no...
there's a limit.
There's a reverse sensitivity thing going on where the neighbours clearly didn't want a pig farm nearby. And so they've been paid not to farm pigs, but he can crop his farms just fine. Paid not to farm what he wanted to. So crazy world.
Meanwhile, there's that removal of food from the world. What's going to replace it?
Well, there could be little laboratories and high-rises putting out lovely lab-based food.
That's right.
New Zealand trades on this supposed clean and green image. If we really are up for that, we do have to make sure that stuff that is not appropriate for our animals doesn't go anywhere near them. I can accept that. Are we trading on our clean green image at all? What is the value of that? You've talked about it in this last few minutes about for market access and all that sort of thing. No one ever quantifies any of this stuff.
Yes.
And I remember the former minister, James Shaw, talking about we need to do XYZ for market access with regard to climate. Never a dollar value put on it, as has never, there's never been a dollar value put on net zero for New Zealand, apart from Professor Michael Kelly, who said it's about $550 billion.
That would be a minimum amount.
Society hasn't been told any of this, Helen. They just are quite numb about it, and we keep going down this track, and slowly you can see how now the suits are coming out. And they are now starting to say we can sort of zoom in or zero in on the honey pot, and they're getting there. Thinking about farming at all.
The tentacles of this thing. When I recently made my submission to the Primary Sectors Committee, talking about our next where we are going with all of this, I said that and I immigrated here. I was told the bureaucracy is nimble, the red tape is minimal, the science is world class. And now, when I see the latest AgriSearch post, it says that with this funding from the Bezos Earth Fund, AgriSearch principal scientist Neil Bedlock has said this funding announcement is a welcome boost for methane vaccine research. And for anyone who missed it, 4/1,000,000th of a degree of warming. We are excited to be collaborating with the Purbright Institute and provide our expertise. Then they go on to say the work would also complement the research we are doing here in New Zealand with the backing of AgriZero and the New Zealand Agriculture Greenhouse Gas Research Center. How many of these centers do we need for a country of 5 million? AgriSearch, the Pastoral Greenhouse Center, the Agriculture, AgriZero. It is like every day there is another buzzword, there's another entity that creeps up, then there is another tie-up, public-private partnership. It all leads to sustainable development goal number 17, public-private partnerships for the goals. And suddenly, the ones who are funding all of this, we are cut out because private interests take over. If Mr. Bezos wants alternative protein, do you think he'd be really, truly invested in finding a cure for methane being belched out by ruminants, because that would affect his other business?
Yes, that's right. Hedging your bets, isn't it? Definitely.
Pigs and troughs comes to mind, Jasper.
I was trying not to go there, but you said it, Todd.
Got to say it. So, we should move on to other topics. Helen, what's your view on the methane science review and the panel that's been set up for it? Are you comfortable with it?
Well, my opinion is, are they really responsible for looking at the science, or are they going to allow politics to sway their opinion? Because we've got the science that proves that methane is not a problem, and we've got scientists who, if we had the funding, they have said that they would come to New Zealand and speak in front of the panel. If we can't get the funding, then they are happy to speak in front of the panel via Zoom. And these are some of the top atmospheric and climate scientists in the world. So if they are serious that they are going to look at this from a scientific, open-minded viewpoint, then wouldn't that be lovely? But we know that this is political, so I think they've got the desired outcome that they want, and this is possibly just rubber stamping. But yeah, let's keep optimistic. Let's hope they're going to do their job properly. Let's hope they've got good morals and values. Yep. And let's hope they'll listen to the scientists that we're going to offer them.
Well, that was the intriguing thing when we spoke to Owen last week. Your chairman or co-chairman, Owen Jennings, he gave me something I didn't know, which was there is no submission process or no open process that you can address the review panel with your information. So hopefully that door is slowly opening. It sounds like it may be, because it's vital. You can't have a closed shop review panel just getting the information they might seek themselves. My biggest issue really is getting the New Zealand media back to where it should be and starting to question. For instance, we're told that methane has this global warming potential of 28 times that of CO2 in a 100-year time span. And yet, what you learn when you delve deeply into this, you know that it's a fallacy, because it doesn't even take into account the water vapor content of the atmosphere when it's doing that assessment, and let alone in the old days, it was each gas in isolation. Even if the major five main greenhouse gases are sort of in this mixed environment and they talk about potency, they're still forgetting water vapor. It doesn't seem right that you actually emit the prime greenhouse gas.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree completely. And like I say, we've got scientists who would like to have their say. I just really hope the panel is going to be open-minded.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much. We are so grateful, Helen, that you, Jane Smith, Owen Jennings, people like Hamish Bielski, people who are behind the Methane Science Accord, are keeping up with this fight, because we know it is not easy. It is an exercise in patience and self-restraint, even if I do say so myself. It is. And this letter was fabulous. If someone wants to read it in its entirety, please go to the Methane Science Accord Facebook page. And your website, Helen, it is still active, methane-accord.co.nz. There's more there on methane and facts, and there's a way you can support them, be it even just sharing the page, sending their emails out. I would urge New Zealanders to get behind this, be it rural or urban, because this thing is certainly not going away anytime soon, certainly not without public pressure. We thank you again so much for your time, Helen, for coming on. And if you hear back from Agri Zero, we are all ears. You just have to give us a call, and Dawn and I will make time of the day or night for you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jaspreet. There's a lot of farmers in New Zealand who would like to see the reply, so I will absolutely put that up on our Facebook post.
Look forward to it. Have a great rest of the day, Helen. Goodbye.
Thank you. You too.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.